Only because I've been asked this question several times already this weekend, I'll address this first from the pulpit. My face is a little bit red, and it's not because of high blood pressure, like some people were asking. Friday, I was with a couple other priests, and we were spending the day on Bayou Teche, and without enough sunscreen, this is what happens. So it's not, my face is not as red as it was Friday or yesterday, but still, that's the point. A bit too much sun from the bayou. This thought kind of came to mind, too. Years ago, when I was in college seminary at St. Joseph's Seminary in Covington, I had a cousin who was there with me. In fact, his grandfather and my grandmother, her brother and sister. But in our sophomore year, his dad had gotten him a used Chevrolet Chevette. Remember those Chevettes from back in the day, a little tan core? But his dad had told him, he says, be sure you change your oil. Your oil, that's the lifeblood of your car. You don't change your oil, don't put some good oil, it burns up and everything gets messed up. Be sure you change the oil. Well, with that, maybe think about prayer. You know, prayer is the lifeblood of the Christian life. We don't pray, what happens? Everything gets burned up. We don't pray well. The soul doesn't run properly. In a word, if we do not allow the Spirit of Christ to lead us, if the Holy Spirit is not there to lead us, then we find ourselves falling into slavery to all kinds of other things. Our own weaknesses, our own passions, our sinfulness. We start worrying about doing what everybody else wants us to do. We get consumed by worries of the world. And we find ourselves entrapped sometimes and very frustrated and don't feel the sense of peace and freedom that can only come from the grace of God. And it makes sense. I mean, how can we? How can we feel the presence of God if our hearts are far from Him? If we decide to turn away from Him? And as the old saying goes, if God seems far away, well, who do you think moved? It's us, not Him. In the gospel passage that we just heard, we find St. Peter on the boat with the other apostles, and things are getting kind of rough. Seas are tossing waves here and there. Then they begin to see Jesus emerging on top of the waters. He's walking toward them. They think it's a ghost. And Jesus says, take courage. It's I. Do not be afraid. And so St. Peter says, well, if it is you, then command me to come with you into the water. And of course, Jesus says, come. As long as St. Peter kept his eye on Christ, things went well. He was walking above the waves. But whenever he sees the wind getting strong and focuses on the water and becomes frightened, he begins to sink. Then he realizes that the cry, Lord, save me, is what's needed. Christ offers his hand. Peter has to give his hand to the Lord. And as Jesus says, you little faith, why did you doubt? I told you earlier, courage. Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. What about us in this life that we live, where it seems like the winds keep tossing us about from one thing to another, where it feels like the waters are about to consume us, and sometimes we have no idea whether we're coming or going, what's going to happen, but we feel like we're sinking. What do? The same thing Peter did. We cry out to the Lord, save us. You know, we come to Mass Sunday after Sunday. We come to church. We sit in God's presence. But are we giving ourselves to the Lord who's offering himself to us? The hand is outstretched. But do we come to church and all we're thinking about is what happened before, what we're doing this past week, what we're going to be doing next week, what we're going to have for lunch after we finish going to Mass? What kind of things in our minds and our hearts when we're supposed to be in the presence of God? Are we focused and letting God speak? Do we listen to Him? Whether you listen to me or not is of little importance, okay? Are we listening to God? When we pray, are we just kind of going through a little rotation of things, like we memorize these different prayers or say what we have to say, and then we're done with it? Or do we have a truly heart-to-heart conversation with God, expressing our inmost desires to Him, really establishing a communication, a friendship with God? Now, we're very, very used to vocal prayer and liturgical prayer at Mass. But when it comes to that prayer that really touches the heart, we tend to fail. And that's a frightening thing. Prayer is the lifeblood of the Christian's relationship with the Lord and others. It's the lifeblood of our salvation. It's been said of priests that a priest who does not pray is a priest who does not stay. The same thing happens to anyone. The Christian who does not pray is the Christian who does not stay. Or as St. Alphonsus Liguori put it very succinctly, those who pray will be saved. Those who don't pray will be damned. And that's the crisis that we have in our church today. We focus on many, many different things, but we don't think about prayer. We want to be very good people and do all kind of socially good things and worry about the social gospel and taking care of others, and that's fine. But if we don't pray, what happens to that? It kind of goes out of control and burns itself out. Contemplative prayer is not just for monks and nuns and convents. That's their life. There needs to be an element of contemplative prayer in every Christian's life. And contemplative prayer is simply this. It's a sharing between friends. Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." But how can we know what he commands us unless we listen? And that's where the contemplative prayer comes in. It's taking time to be alone with him who we know loves us. Taking time to be alone with him who we know loves us and loving him in return. It's something that we have to will to do. It doesn't happen just kind of all of a sudden when we get a chance to. And people tell me that all the time. "I'd like to pray more, I'd like to pray better, but I just don't have the time." Yes, you do. We find time for all kinds of other useless things all day long. We can find time to pray. And it's not the essence of praying more, it's praying better. Our prayer must lead into our work, and our work must be the fruit of our prayer, and the two come together to where they become one thing. Where everything that we do, every thought, every word, every action becomes an element of glorifying God by being the people that he created us to be in the first place. His image and likeness, to let Christ himself live in us and do all the work through us. That cannot happen unless we do what St. Peter did. Keep the gaze and the focus on Christ and reach out and take his hand. God does not force us, but he does call us and invite us. We have to take the initiative. Now, where does this prayer kind of take place? Does it have to be in church before the Blessed Sacrament? Ideally, that would be great, but that's not possible. But keep in mind that we're always in the presence of God, and God's presence is always in us. The place for this contemplative prayer to take place, our taking time to be alone with Christ, is right here in the heart, in the human heart. This is where everything about our lives is centered. All God is asking is that we give him our heart, our minds, our souls. What do we talk to him about? Everything. To give him your hopes and your fears. To give him your dreams and your successes, your failures even. Everything from your triumphs to your tragedies and everything. We're seeking the face of God in the midst of all these different things, but offering ourselves to him, laying everything at his feet and leaving everything there with him. That's our problem. We want to take control. We want to look at the waves. We have to worry about the wind. And what happens? We don't look at Christ. What happens? We sink constantly, constantly. Leave it with him. Give him your hand and surrender everything. Heart, mind, body, soul, everything. Notice that when you give all these things to God, what does he give us in return? He gives us the gift of himself. He gives us graces. He gives us communion with him, to be united with him. There's even a conversion of heart. We begin to change interiorly. And then we find a deepening of charity. We begin to love God more, ourselves more in a good way, and then love others more. Why? It's love transforming us into love, but that cannot happen unless we give all things to him out of love. It's a gaze of faith, seeking Christ in every situation, seeking Christ in every person, seeking the Lord's presence in everything. A gaze of faith that is fixed on Christ and Christ alone. Now, having said that, and saying all kinds of wonderful things, what are we going to do about it? Remember that faith begins by hearing, but then we have to put into action the things that we hear. Hear the word of God and act on it. Saying yes to God and not letting ourselves be taken away by temptation. It takes a free act of the will to willingly love and serve God. Now, here's something else we need to do. We need to be silent from time to time. Psalm 45 says very beautifully, "Be still and know that I am God." Notice how in the Bible, every time there's an encounter with a demon, there's noise. There is. Satan loves chaos. Satan loves noise. Satan loves distraction. And he uses these things constantly. Go back to what I said earlier. People say, "Father, I don't have time to pray." But yet the television's always on, or music's always playing, or we're always engaged in conversation constantly, none of which of these things is bad in of themselves, but these things can become distractions. Now, understand, you have children at home, you have duties at home, you have work, that's understandable. But all of us can take some time, somehow, somewhere, even for a few minutes, simply to listen to God. That's all we have to do. If we don't do that, then we can't be the spouses or the parents or whatever it is that God has called us to do that we should be. We get too involved in the noise and don't take time to listen with the ear of our hearts. It can be done. It needs to be done. I know that many times people think, well, for us to be able to experience God, there's got to be a lot of activity. There's got to be a lot of music. There's got to be a lot of this, a lot of that. But that's not how God works. Let's go back to Kings. Elijah simply wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord said, go outside and stand on the mountain, and the Lord will pass by. Elijah's there. He hears the strong and heavy wind that's rending the mountains and crushing rocks, but the Lord was not in that wind. There was an earthquake, and the Lord wasn't there. There was a fire, and the Lord was not there. After the fire, there was a tiny whispering sound, and when Elijah heard this, he hid his face in his cloak in humility and stood at the entrance of the cave to offer himself as a sacrifice to God. Elijah, the father of the prophets, was known as a friend of God. And so it is with you and me, called to be friends with God. As the Father said of Jesus, listen to him. Listen to him in the silence. Notice how if you go into the woods, you're going to hear a few things. You'll hear the wind rustling through the trees. You'll hear a few insects, maybe the scurrying of a few animals here and there, the birds singing. But trees grow tall and strong in the silence. All of nature grows strong in silence. Even the animals don't make noise unless there's a need for it. Why? Because they're doing exactly what God made them to do. What about us? Are we growing strong in the silence? Are we doing what God called us to do by praying to him, by giving ourselves to being his friends, and giving ourselves to the silence that makes us grow inside? Contemplative prayer, the simple expression of us giving ourselves to Christ, Christ giving himself to us, a heart-to-heart talk with the one who loves us, heart speaking to heart, a gaze of faith fixed on Jesus, an attitude of attentiveness to him who is the Word made flesh. It's a deep and silent love. If we give ourselves to this, we realize that this is what achieves true union with Christ. His offering himself to us and us offering ourselves to him as a sacrifice. One last note, one last point to consider. St. Paul in the second reading talks about how he wishes so much that he could be accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of his own people. Not that he wanted to be separate from God, but he wanted to offer himself as a sacrifice for his own people, the Jewish people who did not come to realize that Jesus was the fulfillment of all God's promises throughout the Old Testament. Our crisis today, brothers and sisters, is a crisis of saints because we are not praying and interceding. There are people in the world who need prayer. There are people in the world who will not pray for themselves, and there are people there who cannot pray for themselves. And this is where you and I come in, to offer ourselves as a sacrifice with Christ for the salvation of the world, to achieve those graces for them that they will not achieve for themselves, as Jesus did for us, to be one with him in offering that sacrifice that all may be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Us offering ourselves with the Lord and to the Lord, and with Christ, offering ourselves to the Father, becoming a vessel of grace for others as well as for ourselves, all the while searching for God and seeking him and offering our prayer in the silence of our hearts.